Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to the weekly Christian Torah devotion presented by Bridges for Peace. Bridges for Peace is Christians supporting Israel and building relationships between Christians and Jews in Israel and around the world. To learn more about Bridges for Peace, news and current events in Israel, and how you can join us in the growing family of Christians who give to bless Israel, go to support Israel, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, please visit bridgesforpeace.com. At Bridges for Peace, every day we connect Christians to bless Israel. And now, let us join our teacher for this week's Torah devotion.
Hello, my name is Laura Invergo. I am a regional representative with Bridges for Peace Chicago and the state of Illinois. Our Torah portion for this week is Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 1 through chapter 3, verse 22. I can honestly say that Deuteronomy, Devarim, has been my favorite book of the Bible since the days that the Lord called me to serve Him, some 30-odd years ago. I remember a Jewish man saying to me, a young adult at the time, God says, through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, to choose life, by loving the Lord, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Devarim, the Hebrew name for the book of Deuteronomy, literally means words, from the first phrase in the book, Ele HaDevarim, which means these are the words. Devarim is written by Moses, but clearly he is acting as spokesperson for the God of Israel. Moses, who had considered himself slow of speech and tongue, had certainly become one of the world's greatest orators. Sadly, in Western culture, words can imply no action. You are all words is a phrase used in our culture when someone who lacks follow-through to action affects our lives. People do not do what they say. Their words are not carried out, followed up by actions. People are like this, in some cultures more than others. But the God of Israel is not like this. When He says something, He does it. When He uses words, what He speaks forth is fulfilled. The root word devar can mean to speak, declare, converse, command, promise, warn, threaten, sing, and the list goes on. The theological word book of the Old Testament says devar is translated in 85 different ways in the King James Version of the Bible, due to the necessity of rendering such a fertile word by the sense it has in varying contexts. We are learning about what God said. This is a very fertile, rich subject. In the Bible studies that I have taught on the Torah over the years, I explain the Hebrew names for the five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. For those struggling to grasp a main thrust for each book of Moses, before diving into the incredible tapestry of God's plan to redeem the world through His covenant with Israel, understanding the words, the Hebrew words and phrases, provide a great start. Genesis is Bereshit, in the beginning. Creation began at God's command. Israel began in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. God promised to make a great nation from Abraham and his descendants through his son Isaac. The tiny nation of Israel went down to Egypt, but 400 years later was led out of Egypt by Moses. Shmoth, which means names, and is the Hebrew title for the book of Exodus, begins with the names of Jacob's 12 sons, who grew to become that great nation while in Egypt. Leviticus begins with the phrase, and He, the Lord, called out from the tent of meeting, Vayikra in Hebrew. The God of Israel had established the tabernacle as his central meeting place with the nation as they traveled on their way through the wilderness to the promised land. In the wilderness, Bamidbar is the Hebrew meaning and the name of the book of Numbers. And the fifth book of Moses, as we know, is Devarim, the first phrase being Eleh Hadabarim, these are the words. These are the words that Moses spoke to the people of Israel, who had survived 40 years in the wilderness. Their parents, the entire generation before, had died, except for Caleb and Joshua. Now it is as if God is saying to the children, let me say this again. In fact, another Hebrew name for this fifth book of Moses is Mishneh HaTorah, which means repetition of the Torah. Unfortunately, the name Deuteronomy, used for the book in our English Bibles, can be misleading. Deuteronomy is a Greek word that means second law. The book of Deuteronomy derived its name from the Greek Septuagint translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, or Old Testament. Mishneh, or a repetition of God's covenant with Israel, is what we see here, beginning with this week's Torah portion. But it is not a repetition of every detail of the Torah, obviously. Rather, in the book of Devarim, and especially in this Parsha, Moses goes back to the basics, the fundamentals, as it were, between God and Israel. The great NBA champion, Larry Bird, is famous for saying, first master the fundamentals. What are the fundamentals in the game of basketball? Dribbling, passing, shooting, ball handling in general, then working with a team and being exceptionally physically fit in order to remain competitive throughout the entire game. Many times a basketball coach will call a timeout because his team of players has forgotten to honor, by use, the fundamentals of the game. By the way, a fundamental for putting together a Torah teaching such as this one requires in-depth study. That's the fundamental. In-depth study. One of the many advantages of study is learning new vocabulary. In my research over the past month, I learned the word hortatory. Hortatory, according to vocabulary.com, is a word used to describe a behavior or action that is encouraging. In the face of great economic crisis, the president's speeches take a hortatory or encouraging tone, at a time when people most need the assurance. Teachers often give hortatory speeches when students are most overwhelmed. Coaches scream hortatory remarks to their team in the locker room to keep the players motivated. When I was in high school, I was a statistician for the varsity boys basketball team. This role kept me close to the coach and the bench at those hortatory moments during games. Therefore, I heard the coach encouraging the team to remember the fundamentals, such as good passes, and control the ball. According to the Kyle and Delitzsch commentary on Deuteronomy, Moses, quote, clothes the repeated instructions from God in the hortatory form of a paternal address, full of solemn and affectionate admonition, with the addition of such reminiscences and motives as seemed best adapted to impress their observance upon the hearts of the people. End of quote. Like a loving father encouraging his obstinate child in the family ways for obedience sake and success in life, Moses addresses the second generation who had come out of Egypt. As I have already stated, the wilderness generation had perished. A census taken in Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, chapter 26, verses 63 through 65, says, "These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord has said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and not a man was left of them, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." Therefore, in the book of Devarim, Moses is not speaking to the desert generation, but the inheritance generation. What is the difference between the two generations, other than the obvious, that one is dead and the other alive? According to Rabbi Chaim Richman of the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, the difference lies in imagination versus reality. The desert generation was guilty of three sins of imagination, according to Rabbi Richman. First, they imagined the Lord as a golden calf in Exodus 32, a direct act of disobedience to God's 10 words given in Exodus 20. "You shall not make for yourselves an image or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth." Second, they complained about the manna, saying, "Our soul is dried up. There is nothing at all for our eyes except this manna." Numbers chapter 11, verse 6. This reminds me of the Keith Green song, "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt," where he says, "Manna waffles, manna burgers, filet of manna, manna caddy, banana bread." The people sinned by imagining what life had been like back in Egypt. In Egypt, they ate free fish. They had cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Somehow, they forgot the bondage. Third, they sinned with unbridled imagination because of the bad report from the spies in Numbers 13. They imagined that the men of Israel will die by the giant's sword, and that their wives and children would be taken as plunder. How quickly the people of Israel had forgotten the power and the goodness of God, how he delivered them mightily, and how he guided and protected them through the desert. In our Torah portion for this week, our faithful God, the Lord God of Israel, is speaking through Moses to the inheritance generation, or as Rabbi Richman describes them, the reality generation. He says the difference between the desert generation and the inheritance generation is the difference between imagination and reality, or imagination purified. This generation was ready for their destiny. Before they go in to possess the land of promise, Moses calls this time out and coaches them about the fundamentals that lead to victory. It is a loving rebuke from his father's heart for his people. Moses is absolutely confident in God and in his promises. "The Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked a thing." Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. So what are the fundamentals that Moses is calling Israel to remember? Number one, God will go ahead of them and fight for them. "The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf." Deuteronomy 1, verse 30. Because it is the Lord fighting for them, fundamental number two says, do not fear. Remember what God did to Egypt? His pillar of cloud kept the Egyptian army away from Israel all night, while he dried up the sea. And after Israel crossed on dry land, he drowned the Egyptians in their pursuit. The desert generation is so called because they could not imagine God doing this again. Only Caleb and Joshua believed and could imagine what God would do. Caleb said, "We should by all means go up and take possession. We shall surely overcome." Numbers 13, verse 30. Joshua said, "Do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Numbers 14, verse 9. This inheritance generation had already seen the power of God go before them, the power that Caleb knew would enable them to overcome the land. And they had seen the two Amorite kings become their prey on the east side of the Jordan, just like Joshua said. The third fundamental, then, is God does what he says he will do. As a reminder, this fundamental is the title of the last book of Moses and the name of its first parsha. God's words, his dvarim, are his promises. And the fourth fundamental to close out the parsha is God's plan is set. He is giving Israel the land he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants. Nothing has changed on God's part. For 40 years, God was actively involved and intimately aware of their wanderings in the wilderness. This is the force of the Hebrew, where it says, "He has known your wanderings," in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. Deuteronomy 3, verse 21 through 22, to close out the parsha, says, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings," that is, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. "So the Lord shall do to all the kingdoms in which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you." Rabbi Richmond says that the inheritance generation had the chance to truly be one nation under God, to really live it. We know that Israel and the nations had a glorious taste of this during the early part of King Solomon's reign. 1 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 20, says, "Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. They were eating and drinking and rejoicing. Now Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. For he had dominion over everything west of the Euphrates, from Tifsa even to Gaza, over all the kings west of the Euphrates, and he had peace on all sides around about him. So Judah and Israel lived in safety, every man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of heart, like the sand that is on the seashore. He was wiser than all men, and they came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom." This was a taste of the real davar, the real thing. Living in the land, truly under God, as we celebrate the first Shabbat in this solemn month of Av on the Hebrew calendar, we remember with the Jewish people throughout the world the tragic destruction of both temples in Jerusalem. I believe we are alive together today with the Destiny Generation, as we see millions of Jewish people home or coming home to Israel to raise their families. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we long for Israel's shalom, her completeness, her wholeness. May we merit seeing that day in our lifetime. Please join me in reciting the Shema, and please stand if you are able. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Thank you for sharing this time together with us. If you'd like to re-listen to this devotion, or perhaps share it with others, or even listen to our past devotions, please go to bridgesforpeace.com. Go to Media, and then click on Torah Devotions. We at Bridges for Peace want to be your Israel connection. Please plan to join us again next week as we continue through the Torah. Have a blessed weekend, and Shabbat Shalom.